Jay, if
bear, I don't remember either.
If anybody here could tell us when Jesus died, it should be you.
He didn't actually exist, so.
Well, point to Jay on that one.
Well, then you don't know your mythology instead of being ignorant about history. I'm not sure.
That's a fair attack.
I'm not sure which is worse.
No, you're right. It is Friday.
I don't know, man. I thought, was he buried on Friday? Did
yeah,
they
that,
wait
I know
a
that
couple
much,
days
yeah.
to bury him?
It's on the third day he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, who will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. He alone, blah, blah, blah.
Also, the third day, I always remember doing the math as a kid. And
it doesn't
like,
add up.
It's
it does
two
add
days.
Up. Yeah.
But if Friday is the first day, like if he was buried in the morning, I guess, and he rose Sunday evening, suppose that's a full 3 days.
Just in time for supper.
I don't know. Yeah, right? Just in time for some eggs.
Yeah.
Which is what we were talking about Easter, because I was like, you know, it's Easter this weekend. Christine was like, yeah. I was like, you know what we should do? We should make fucking egg salad.
Yeah.
Egg salad, because that's what Easter is to me, is egg salad. Colorful egg salad. So, yeah, I think we're going to put something together that's going to be our little Easter
that's
event.
Cute.
But, Jay, I was talking to somebody, and I wanted to talk to you. This worked out perfectly. I was talking to somebody I work with. Sorry, just making some last-minute adjustments here.
That's me.
Same here.
Down in Virginia.
Yes.
And she was like, yeah, they basically sent our kids home, and the bus comes to the bus stop every 2 weeks with packages of, like...
school
like,
stuff?
Like worksheets for the kids to do and
that's
whatever.
Nice.
And I was like, so are they like teaching them? And she was like, well, we were kind of supposed to be homeschooling them, but my husband and I are both still working. So we kind of gave up on that.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I feel like kids' education for the second half of this year is just going to be...
Well, I guess the most that they're doing is they're basically sending home like packages. I thought it was funny that the bus dropped it off. Like that bus driver is just like... His job got a whole lot easier.
So the teachers are...
And she said they were talking on like a Zoom call like once a week to be like, hey, are you learning?
So the teachers are still going into the buildings or the teachers are...
I have no idea. Yeah. I didn't get in that much detail.
Is this being left up to the states to approve? The way that it's being done is like your state board of education, or first it has to go to your county board of education and then your state, but has to approve your distance learning plan to give you credit for the days that are being missed. So each state and each county, I guess, came up with their own thing, but that seems highly ineffective. Like I'm in Google Meet all day with my kids.
You use Google Meet?
I use Google Meet.
I'm a Zoom guy myself.
All of our accounts are done through Google, so
that's right.
Easier
they
for
it's
everybody.
A good idea.
That's right.
If you want all the information for all the children,
I
in
have
the country
brought
in
that
one
up.
Place.
I have brought that up at multiple staff meetings, and I get looked at like the crazy guy. I'm like, no, like for real, they literally own anything we put on this platform.
Yeah,
because they want to move all the student records to online and things like
that.
I'm like,
this is not a good idea.
Well, here's your problem too, is because I don't think Google is up to like standard on data integrity requirements.
You would imagine, right?
But not like for like Google Docs. Yeah. Like I can't put mortgage stuff on Google Docs because it's financial and it's like it's not quote unquote secure.
Mm-hmm.
So we use OneDrive. Which I guess is
through Microsoft they have
secure.
Different certifications
for some reason
they have heavier protection.
But like same thing for like medical records, like you can't keep medical records in certain places
absolutely not
because they're not secure and it violates HIPAA laws.
Yep.
So I don't know for sure, but I have to imagine there's some sort of educational equivalent
there
for your
is
education
FERPA.
Records.
It's under FERPA.
FERPA.
Oh, FERPA.
Of course.
It's the
infamous
it's
the FERPA.
Same thing that
it's HIPAA for. Education.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. No, makes
Federal
sense.
Education
Records Protection Act.
Yeah. Boom.
So yeah. So your school should probably be concerned. I don't think Google Drive.
I bring that up every whenever we have a staff meeting and our principals and superintendents bring up like, hey, we're gonna really try to move all of these records to school. I'm like, this is not a good idea. Like, we should not be doing this.
Like,
is someone doing the
yeah.
research on that? I would check against FUPA. And make sure that's like an approved way to store, like you're in compliance.
I would
there.
Imagine we have a compliance officer. I know we have a compliance officer.
Yeah, but you can't
officer,
trust those people
like,
doing
I mean,
their jobs, man.
You would hope.
I keep my student record shit on my hard drive. I don't put any sensitive information on the drive, even though they want us to do it, because I'm just not
about that.
Not about putting myself in that that situation.
No, that's a good point. I mean, ultimately, I imagine it's not your responsibility. It's no. The school's responsibility if they're telling you to do it.
Yeah.
But still, a good move. I just, do you know what compliance officers do? Nothing.
Yeah, right?
No, they sit there and they just have to check to be like, yep.
Yeah.
Or nope.
They've got like a checklist and they're like, are you violating the checklist? No, I'm going back to sleep.
Yep. Yes, that is 100%.
I thought about going into compliance at one point, and then I was just like,
too boring.
No, nobody likes compliance people.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I enjoy having friends. it doesn't work.
Yep. I only see my building's compliance guy when he's like, well, we can't have this rug.
Yeah, they're only brought in for bad news or to tell people no.
Reposition exactly. It 3 feet.
Like, or tell them you're like, doing a job wrong.
Do your
compliance guys do feng shui also?
Yeah, it's like... these stupid shitty rules, and they'll always come in and nail it. Like, well, you can't have door stops. Okay,
it's like a fire hazard or something.
Yeah, apparently.
Interesting.
Wait, like what? Like the old wedge kind?
I just use a Jenga block, and they can go fuck themselves.
Like, I mean, that's got a low profile. I'm okay with that.
Heavy enough.
And they I stick it in the door jam.
Oh, up top. Yeah.
Okay.
And so they'll just take it, but like I have literally
a giant
gallon Ziploc bag full of them. So they just
I have a whole game of Jenga full.
Yeah, like keep going. Let's keep going.
Like, and I just keep putting them in. So like once a week it'll get stolen. I'm like, fuck you guys. Another one. And I got 10 years, so fucking fuck off.
I love Jay's tenure attitude.
It's well
it's
deserved.
Like I do my job, but it's like the little shit now that I just like I'm like, all right, fuck off.
Well, listen, if you ever run out of Jenga blocks, I have plenty of lumber out back.
I saw. So, yeah, nice little shed you got there for whatever it's called.
Yeah, Joe and Zach built it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they were just because they're all like, you know, coroned out like us, and they were just like, hey, we're looking for something to do, and you got scrap wood in your yard. And I was like, yeah, built something.
And they did. Looks good.
And they built a nice little woodshed.
Yeah. You know,
which is now stacked with wood, and I keep finding more trees to cut down. So
that sounds like a homeowner problem.
I'll show you guys pictures. Dude, all those trees were filled with vines. Like these creepy, like...
tendrily.
Yeah. Like Invasion of the Body Snatchers
style. With all those little hairs coming off of them.
Vines. Yeah, dude. All intertwined, and like one of them at the base was like a tree branch, like that.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's coiling up this, I don't know, 20, 30 foot tree. And I'm like getting up there with like a chainsaw and trying to like climb a few branches to get high, and I'm looking up and it's all the way up. It was you should have seen the pile of vines, like pounds and pounds of just vine material.
Well, they're like an invasive kind of species.
Yeah, and the weird thing is I've been living here. This is our second summer here, and this is the first time I've ever really taken a close look to be like,
oh yeah,
what the fuck's going on in that garden? And I fucking saved that tree's life, son.
Good for you, Dave.
I feel pretty good about it.
You should.
Free air for everybody. You know what? Air's on me this
week,
Dave.
Guys. Thanks.
That one's all me.
What a guy.
Breathe deep.
I
Boy.
That's some,
well, I don't want to owe Dave much.
Dave Co-Air.
Oh, that was funny.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
ANCAP Dave over here. Just just charging for air.
Yeah. Air's free.
Air's
you come
free.
Here. Okay. Air is complimentary. Like the Wi-Fi. Enjoy.
Thanks.
Yeah. Bask in its goodness.
Yeah.
So I'm speaking of projects.
Oh.
Coronavirus projects.
Yeah.
Some of you may know that I'm extremely angry about our political system. Some of you.
Unless you're just tuning in to the show for the first time ever, you definitely know.
May have gotten the hint.
Just Jay and new this week.
Jay's angry about politics.
And the Democrats can both lick my taint. Because they're fucking assholes. So,
anything specific this week, Jay? What do you got?
Well, Bernie dropped out.
Oh,
and now the presumptive
right.
nominee is a rapey dude who like likes to sniff people's hair. Like... And like is extremely corrupt and has a son of nepotism
and has still said
and
his
best quality is
Medicare
that he does crack and has said he's going to veto Medicare for all. And not that it's bad to do drugs. Like Hunter Biden's best quality is actually that he does drugs.
Yep.
Like those are both cool and good. In addition to shitposting online in my rage, I've joined the Movement for a People's Party, and we're working to form a third party.
Oh.
So you should check us out at peoplesparty.org and follow us on Twitter @ForPeople'sParty. And you should, if you are so inclined and like me, think that Republicans and Democrats can literally eat your ass like groceries, you should join the People's Party.
Is that on the page?
That's our platform.
Yeah.
Fucking the DNC can eat my ass, like,
ass
groceries.
Like groceries.
All right.
What's the party? What is it?
It's the Movement for a People's Party. So we haven't formed the party yet. It's
okay.
But you should check out the website. The platform is very similar to Senator Sanders' platform.
All right.
Except it has balls, right?
Except it has balls and okay. is going to, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, no, I agree. That's where he went wrong.
Yep.
That's where he went wrong.
Same thing as last time. That's why, Jay, I felt for you. But yeah. I just
it's like, oh, my good
again.
Friend Joe, who likes to rape people.
Yeah.
I will say Bernie finally found his fucking big dick energy last night on Colbert's show. And
was
like,
before or after he.
This is after he dropped out. Okay. And he's like, well, for me to endorse Joe, basically, for me to endorse Joe Biden, he's going to have to adapt a majority of my policy positions.
Yeah.
My platform.
That's
But
that,
like,
that,
where
yeah.
the fuck
yeah,
was
where
that?
Where was that? Yeah.
Where the fuck was that?
You can't endorse Joe Biden.
He can't endorse. I don't think
if
he
you're
can.
Bernie Sanders, you're like.
Yeah, no, you can't.
At this point, as much as I like a lot of the things Bernie Sanders stands for, if you're Bernie Sanders, you're like a two-time loser who just lets people like
yes.
blatantly walk all over
you're
you
and
100% right.
use them as a scapegoat. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is like the fool me once. It's yeah. like the second time we've done this yeah. where mm-hmm. it was just like, Bernie, come on, man. Let's get in there and mix it up.
Yeah.
And it's not even like it's a secret. It's not even like, oh, man, they really fucked Bernie. And if only people knew. Then they'd feel differently. It's like everybody knows, Bernie knows. We all acknowledge it, and he's just like, yeah, it's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, no, like, you're not wrong. And
come on, Bernster.
Yeah,
he should have just fucking called the media out. Like for all the shit I hate about Trump, like the smartest thing he did, one of the smartest things he did, was in the beginning of the 2016 primary season when it was asked the question like, will you endorse the eventual winner? And he said, no, I don't know. I'll burn this fucker down.
and here we are.
I'm not going to do it. You're going to vote for me or you're going to lose the election.
That is one of yeah, Trump's strengths, absolutely. Which is his unpredictableness.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I do think there's a certain amount of that that's definitely not intentional, but I do think there's a certain amount that is.
Yes. Yeah, no,
like
no, I said sure.
before, like, why yeah. would I tell them we're not going to use nukes? Like, yeah. what? If I take nukes, but just say you're not going to use nukes so everyone will feel better. Why would I say that? Yeah. Maybe we'll use nukes, but you probably won't, right? Probably not. Okay, so why don't you just, but we might.
No.
And you're yeah. just like, he is that it, like,
yeah.
That's yeah. what he does. So it's going to be an interesting election.
Oh, it's going to be a fucking slaughter. Shit show.
I keep seeing Joe Biden up in the polls. Joe Biden up in the polls.
He's not anymore.
No.
What happened?
He's down in the polls.
Oh, something specific or just
he's
in
down
general?
2 points in a general election.
No, I mean, like, did he do something? Did he sniff somebody's
this
hair?
This is post-rape allegation.
Isn't this all post-rape allegation?
Well, technically, the rape allegation...
came out, like, a couple weeks ago.
Well, it came out in 2019, but it was brushed under the carpet, and then The Intercept broke the piece like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
This poll was ran April 3rd and 4th. So it was before Bernie dropped out, but it was after the rape allegation broke. Biden is down 2 to Trump. Bernie would be up 2 in a hypothetical general election matchup.
And those are the fake news polls.
Yeah, I think this was...
Just imagine what the real polls look like.
Oh, Reuters, Ipsos. But it's going to be like the thing I see from Republicans is like, or Democrats, in addition to the gross rape apologetics, which yeah. are like, well, they're both rapists, but that's, like you yeah. should vote for the rapist with the better policies. A...
I don't see your problem, Jay. If you don't think you should apologize for rape, then...
A...
Not, no, it's not... No,
we're on
no,
different
no,
sides
no.
of this argument.
No.
A...
Not the same kind.
Joe Biden doesn't nope. arguably have better policies than Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
And B, like, how about no rapists?
You think you could find one.
Like, you'd hope, but here we are.
You could find one candidate without a single, we'll say, sexual
you know
misconduct
what? It's interesting you do bring that up because I have a candidate for you?
I don't know that you do.
His name's Bernie Sanders.
Dude, if Bernie Sanders went to the general, something was coming up.
All they got on him was he's a fucking commie.
No. There's some chick who was uncomfortable in the past during like a sit-in or something. And they'll be like, we were a bunch of smelly hippies in a sit-in. And then, you know, me and the Bernster, we got busy and I don't know how I feel about it.
I can get the uncomfortableness. Like, so like, but like the rape, like I'm willing to not like say it's okay for a for anybody to have like it's making anybody uncomfortable for anything, you know, sucks. But like it happens.
It's making me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
right
what,
now.
Where are we going with
but
this,
like,
Jay?
I'm uncomfortable.
No,
bail
like,
out, bail out.
But like even the Bloomberg shit, like he What's was a piece Bloomberg of garbage. Shit? He is a piece of garbage. But like shit he said 40 years ago, I don't necessarily okay. hold somebody to.
I see what you're saying.
Rape, however.
You think rape sticks?
I think rape has to stick, and I think you have to draw the line at that. Yeah. And that's why with Biden, when it gets that's to that, like, the actual rape, that's where I have a problem.
That's an interesting position. I don't necessarily disagree, but it's interesting to think about because, like, when do we let rapists out of prison? There's a...
It's like...
There's a term for that,
20
right?
20 to 30, I
we
think.
Let, so, like, do we say, like, 20 to 30 years on a rape? It's like, okay, we
I don't
we
necessarily
let
think you ever, like, morally. I don't know. This is, like, my own morals.
Why do we let them out of prison? If we haven't forgiven them yet, if they're unforgivable.
I don't know. Prison should be restorative, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
But you can't restore them. What you're saying is, like restore... You're saying,
I think morally, I think... You can't, but I think like if you can restore them to the point where they're not going to commit it again, I'm fine with them having a job.
Yeah, come
but I don't
society,
necessarily
but...
know if I could.
But who's going to hire them? Shouldn't you use the same criteria to hire somebody for a job that you would to elect them for a job?
Well, you have background checks,
right? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, even if you let, if we're going by this logic, which again I don't necessarily disagree with, it's just interesting. Like, when do like let's say I'm an employer. And you're, you, Jay, are a rapist in this scenario. It's hypothetical, obviously. Weird.
Can Brandon be the rapist?
Okay, Brandon is also a rapist.
Fucking A.
And you come to me and you're like, hey, listen, I did my time. I spent 30 years in prison. I've rehabilitated myself.
Yeah.
Am I then, shouldn't I then say like, hey, listen, I know you've rehabilitated yourself, but I don't know if that's ever forgivable.
I think
so
it's personal,
I don't want to hire you.
I think it's an employer personal preference.
So is it also an elector personal preference?
It's a. I think it needs to be a bit more strict, like as to be an elected official.
No, I mean I think that it's yeah. it's a it would be a preference
in
my mind. It should be
automatically strict than getting a job.
I don't know. They should have shouldn't we be using the same criteria to judge people?
Would I hire if your question? Would I hire somebody who I knew for a fact raped somebody?
Yeah.
No.
See, that's interesting. Yeah. Even if they've done their time.
Even if they've done their time to yeah. me. I don't think I
Brandon,
I,
you sound like you might be
gray area, man. Like I think it depends.
That's why it's interesting to talk about.
That's exactly. I think it depends.
If Brandon, you're holding in.
Yeah, if you were you know in jail for however long punishment, and I for me, I guess I would want to see, you know, that they if they spent time in jail, it's been many many years, and that they don't have any other activity, and if it's been. I don't know.
So there is a point for you, Brandon.
Yeah, but I guess it would be like person to person, clearly.
1,000 years.
Yeah.
It's 1,000 years.
Does it make it different? Let's make it a little less awkward. So it's not rape. It's aggravated assault, which is somehow not as bad. Let's say this guy bashed somebody's skull in with a wrench. Not for like a good reason.
Well, if you're interviewing them, I would probably probe. I would ask questions.
I would have to know.
I'd be like, hey, look, we see you have a violent offense here. You know, since we do normally take, we do take ex-cons here. We're really accepting. But I do want to ask some questions, maybe personal about this. Like, how was your experience post-prison? Like, have you like been through therapy? I just want to make sure because it is a violent offense.
So
here.
Brandon's position is you should ask some additional questions.
Fuck yeah.
Which I agree with. You should definitely. I'm with you there, Brandon.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm hiring
or like,
for a bouncer
oh, you know,
type
those people
position,
who get like,
oh, okay, so, yeah. matters per job. Okay.
Precisely. There's okay. that too.
I might be like, all right, well, you bashed your dude's head in.
You clearly don't have a problem with that.
You don't have a problem with that? That's might
So if we're electing someone for like Secretary of Defense, oh, that's not an elected position. That's an appointment. That's an appointment. But are we more okay with it?
If they're a violent person? No. You're quitting just getting hired to a job versus leaders of the nation.
Well, this person who I'm hiring for, it might be an important job. I didn't say it was mopping the floors.
Ex-con, I don't think they're applying for important jobs.
Why not? They've done their time. Have you not forgiven these people?
No, and I agree, but I have got to imagine.
They're rehabilitated, right? We're asking them extra questions.
Yes. I can't imagine they're going to be like, I need to be the head of a hospital. Like,
what if they went to medical school while in prison?
Do they do that?
They definitely do it with law school. You can go
yeah,
to law school
true.
In
law
prison.
Fair enough.
What if you're going to work at a law firm?
Well, again, I'd want to vet them pretty well.
I want to vet them also, yeah. like other employees that I'm hiring.
Yeah.
Probably more so. But
yeah,
is there a
exactly.
point, like, I just, it's weird that, like, at some point, at least for, Jay might be a little more hard-nosed on this, at least for you, Brandon, it seems like there's a point where you're like, all right, we'll talk about
it. To actually, in my view, is, like, to actually believe in restorative justice, you have to be willing to meet people at a certain point.
I agree. So why shouldn't we elect these people?
Because that's not a job they're cut out for,
given their past. If they're reformed, if they're apologetic.
If they're reformed and apologetic, it's worth it to say, like, all right, well, consider it, and let's see, like, let's maybe, I don't know, kick the trial period, but you know what I mean? Like, let's try it out.
Well, let's see what the victim thinks.
Precisely.
Ooh, victim's dead.
Gone forever.
Well, then...
Did this dude kill the victim?
Yeah, right.
Is this what you're...
No, he didn't say murder.
He's a violent head basher, so we'll say the victim died in an unrelated non-head bashing.
Non-head bashing.
Victim recovered from the head bashing, hit by a bus next day.
All right.
So we can't get their input on it, unfortunately. And the victim's entire family is also dead, or in prison for other crimes.
I mean, it's up to the ex-con to really prove that they...
Yeah, I think if they could show good faith towards...
If we've got a reformed... head basher, Jay. They're apologetic. They acknowledge that, hey, listen, I did something that was wrong. It was terrible. I bashed that person's head in. There was no good reason for it. I'm sorry. And I'm trying to make what's best of my life. And I think I can help the world with the experiences I've been through if you elect me, John Head Basher. Jay, can we count on your vote?
For what position?
Yeah, that's a good question. Mayor.
I'd have to know more about John Headbasher.
Small. I got good policies. I'm a Bernie Sanders lookalike. I got everything you want,
you're a
Jay.
Pussy.
I'm a headbasher. I got a Bernie Sanders lookalike, but I'm a headbasher. So you know I'm
that's
going out.
That's what we need on the left. We need a left populist.
I know. This sounds like your candidate.
We need a left populist who's going to bash some fucking heads.
Feels like Jay's in.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So there's a point where we can come around on these people.
Do you believe in bashing the heads of the DNC? Metaphorically.
Right, working it into their platform.
Metaphorically.
I just think that's really interesting.
Well, I think
because I believe in restorative justice
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or else why let people out of prison if you can't
exactly,
be reformed?
Yes.
So, but at some point, I feel like we have to like embrace these people
at a certain point
and be like, I know you were out there raping. But...
And I guess I can meet you on that. But when you have someone who has not faced and. Like has not faced any justice for that and is like denying all of it happening, which obviously, I mean, like, you know,
different story, obviously
it's a different story where if this whole thing had gone down and Biden in 1993, when it happened, had acknowledged and had sought to demonstrate that he was remorseful and, you know,
I'm not talking about Joe Biden.
Wait, what? Wait, this really wasn't about him? No, yeah, kidding.
Yeah. My candidate is obviously a lot more likable and hypothetical.
and not a conservative.
He's very middle of the road, except he's just like Bernie Sanders for you, Jay.
For me. No, but I think...
He's exactly what whoever wants.
I think that's the thing. Like, when you have someone who, if you want to embrace restorative justice, they have to engage in the process and obfuscating and saying, I never did it, I never did it, I never did it, I never did it. And I love women, though.
Like, unless they never did it.
Unless they never did it, but then they should be open...
I'm not familiar with the Joe Biden case.
It seems like at the time it was corroborated, then this woman was canned, which like kind of shit canned. And I mean, like, obviously we should have an investigation, but like, it looks like
this. Yeah.
It looks like it happened. And she was fired and there were contemporaneous accounts when it happened. She told people.
Yes.
So, I mean, as much as you're never going to get like a,
you don't leave any witnesses, Joe. You're not even good at this.
Right.
Been sniffing hair for 50 years. How long has you haven't figured this out yet?
That's so creepy.
So
that's
gross.
Like on its own is just like
that's,
a weird.
Yeah, that's a
creep thing.
Separate yet related. So gross.
Well, he's a creepy person.
He's a creepy person.
And he's clearly going through bouts of dementia.
Yes.
Yes.
He can't speak.
Yep.
He's a mess. Yeah. He's a mess of a person.
Yeah.
It's like you don't even have to.
Well, did you hear
the
Rogan thing?
If you had the rape accusation and you were a coherent speaker, I'd be more likely to support you, I guess. Of course I heard the Rogan thing. Yeah,
stop.
Yeah.
Can't be president.
Stop.
Yeah.
You can't be president. Joe Rogan has been great about, throughout this whole pandemic thing, he has had a new episode out almost every day.
Oh, really?
And it's really keeping me afloat. It's giving me something to listen to while I'm trying to get work done and focus in on just like... the my desk slash kitchen table and what's going on in front of me. And they've been good episodes too, like a lot of real like comedians and doctors and like topical but also lighthearted, haha.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's been talking a lot about Joe Biden, obviously, because Joe Rogan reaches a lot of people.
Yes.
So when he quote unquote endorsed Bernie Sanders, all of a sudden he became not a political darling, but something. The political world got
vilified by the centrists and loved by and embraced by the left.
For the most part.
I think it's been evolving as this has gone on, because then he said, I would vote for Bernie Sanders, and then, you know, so like, okay, great. But then he was like, I wouldn't vote for Joe Biden, and some people who had liked the Bernie Sanders thing also disliked that. So it's a very influx position, but he's captured the attention of these political...
As he should.
Because he has reach.
He's the largest political, or not political, he's the largest podcast platform. He represents...
He might be. There's some dispute that...
Like Marin might be.
No... Adam Carolla?
Oh, maybe.
Really?
Yes.
The biggest one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if
he's a scumbag now.
If you do like subscriptions versus downloads or something, it might be different. I don't know.
Either way, he is a representative of the everyman, and to get his endorsement, for whether it was we call it an endorsement or not, is huge. And him saying that I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden because he's a mushmouth pudding-brained piece of shit, like For him to say that, he reaches, what, 8 million, 9 million people a week?
Oh, yeah.
He's got some reach. And maybe instead of saying, like, because what the prevailing thing has been since he said the I could vote for Trump now thing instead of Biden.
Yeah, I would vote for Trump over Biden, which he clarified to mean I would vote for anyone over Biden.
Yeah.
But he's getting shit on now by the centrist media and mainstream media. Like, we told you Joe Biden was trouble. He's really just a secret racist. Like... You Bernie bros, you shouldn't have embraced his endorsement. No, what we just proved to you is that Bernie reaches a subset of voters that are disengaged and that would normally consider voting for Trump over Biden. Like Bernie, what this proves is that you're picking the wrong candidate, and you should probably stop going after the dude who has the largest.
They know they're picking the wrong candidate.
I think they do too.
They're not stupid. They're running the show.
Yes.
They know they're picking the wrong candidate.
Yes.
It's the candidate that is most advantageous for them.
Yes, because
so it has nothing to do with being the right candidate, Jay. So I think you're wasting your breath.
No, I think so too.
We know that.
Yeah. I think so too. But I think they want to lose.
I don't know that they want to lose, but they certainly aren't trying to win.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good way of putting it.
They're not putting up a good fight. If they wanted to win, you'd be doing this differently.
Yes.
So I think they're just like, if we win, that worked out nicely, but we're not gonna put too much money on this one.
Yeah. If we lose, we get to fundraise for 4 more years and pretend we're an opposition party, but in reality, we're not. We're just bitches. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. It's going to be great.
It's going to be... I am...
If there's even an election, who knows?
I am ready for these debates where Joe Biden tries to hold the moral high ground against Donald Trump. Donald Trump calls him a rapist.
Hold these truths to be self-evident.
Oh, God.
You know the thing.
I saw the best article. Joe Biden calls God the thing.
Yeah.
Yep. It makes me think of the Big Orange. endowed by the thing.
Ben Grimm just shows up. That's fucking funny.
Oh, my God. It's so sad.
But it's sad to me that these fucking centrists, like the actual people, because I will say there's a... Everybody on the left or like center left wants Trump defeated. Like, I don't think that there's a question that their constituents of the DNC want to see Trump lose. Like, for whatever reasons they have, whether their reasons are manufactured by the media or whether they have genuine policy disputes, they want to see him lose. And to me, it's a disservice. It's shitty for the voters, and it's gross that these voters are just getting misled, because fucking, like, oh, it's just such an ill-informed electorate, like,
yep,
on both sides. And, ugh, that's the gross part, I think, in general.
This whole thing is the same thing we did last time.
Yes. See, and you were further. So last time, I was talking to Chervy about this today. We talked for like a half hour on the phone.
Oh,
today.
Nice. How is she?
Yeah, she's doing well. Okay. We're both very upset.
Okay.
But we were both talking. Both of us were in 2016. We were both like of the mindset of how could anybody have voted Trump? Or how could anybody have not voted for Hillary to beat Trump? Like, we just didn't get it. And like now it's like 4 years later and both of us are like, oh yeah, no, we get it.
It makes
all the sense in the world now.
Like you have done and been through this already.
And so, yeah,
you called this. Like,
sorry, I'm so disengaged.
You did call a lot of this as it happened. Yeah.
At this point, it's no surprises.
And that's why voter apathy is a problem in this country.
Yeah, it's just boring at this point. We're going to do the same thing next time around, too. Yeah. I've seen this show.
Yeah.
That's why when they're like, Biden's moving up in the polls. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, no, he's going to lose.
Those polls.
He's going to lose.
I was just as shocked to see Trump win as everybody else. I went in, cast my vote for Bernie Sanders, and then went home and probably played Stellaris or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then my brother busted down my door, and he's like, do you see what's happening? And I was like, what? What's happening? He was like, he's winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's everybody's reaction. No. That was everybody's reaction that night. Like, what? What? Wait.
Weird. You run a candidate that everybody hates and nobody wants to vote for, and nobody votes for in swing states. Like, what the fuck did you think was going to happen?
Well, at least it's going to be one hell of a show.
It is going to be really funny.
Who do you think he's going to pick as his running mate?
There's talk
Amy
that he
Klobuchar.
Was...
Klobuchar.
You think so? Who was the other one? The Michigan governor?
I don't know her.
They were talking about the Michigan... I think that's a rumor.
Okay.
Amy Klobuchar, she was running for president.
I know.
Anecdotal Amy. Likes to throw staplers at people.
What? I don't know anything about this lady.
she's like the Tim Kaine of... It's like how Hillary, instead of picking a left-leaning... in 2016, Hillary picked Tim Kaine instead of picking like someone further left of her.
I don't remember Tim Kaine, but all right.
Tim Kaine was Hillary's running mate.
Sure he was.
I don't even remember that.
History will remember him.
But, fucking... No, Klobuchar...
I don't. I recognize the name because it's Klobuchar, very memorable. But I don't remember hearing anything about her in the whole thing.
She was there.
I'm sure she was.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's uninteresting. I was hoping you'd get something crazy like Barack Obama. He's coming back.
Woo! Nobody can pull.
Literally has been floated.
You can't.
No, you can't.
It's because of the whole 10-year thing.
That's why our ill-informed electorate, like that, was going around Twitter. Like, we're like, look, like I hate you guys because you're Biden supporters, but like. You can't actually. Yes, you can. No, you can't.
You can't.
You can't because he's already been. Bernie bot. Eat my asshole.
Well, it's like people didn't realize that you couldn't elect somebody who wasn't born here.
Yes.
Like Ted Cruz.
Like fucking Ted Cruz.
Well, fucking Canadian Ted Cruz.
He was the Zodiac
killer Ted Cruz. Yes.
I thought his dad was. Wasn't that the thing? I thought.
I think so, but it,
I think
just
it turned into Ted Cruz.
And when
it
became better than Ted Cruz was. Yeah, all right, fair enough. Well, I'll tell you what, if there's one thing that we can all agree on, it's that we're getting taxed enough already. Which brings us to the point of this podcast.
That's all right.
I give that a 6 out of 10.
Robin Hood! Let's hit it. Ooh, rock and roll.
I was practicing it all day because I don't have a script.
I mean, I could always be louder.
It's like fucking cat trying to hawk up a hairball. Like Joe Biden after sniffing a fucking girl.
Oh, God. Oh, that I don't want that in my head ever. That's a horrible image.
Yep.
Joe Biden?
I know.
Yeah, in general.
Which orifice do you think he's going to bleed out of next? You didn't see. He legit bled out of his eye on
something the devil would do.
You've got to look it up.
What are you talking about?
He bled out
it
of
did
his
not.
Eye. He bled out of his eye at a debate back in like November or something.
You're full of shit.
I'm
I
not full of
you.
Shit.
That
I'm
can't
not
be
full
true.
Of shit.
I vaguely
like a Christ statue.
Like
yeah, right.
Like out of
Stigmata.
His eye. He burst a blood vessel in his eye, like mid-debate.
Oh, my God.
We're fucked.
This is the person. He's literally falling apart.
Anyways.
Well, 4 more years, guys.
Yep.
It's our only hope.
Buckle
fuck.
Up.
nothing is a good outcome.
There's no good outcome.
At this point,
nothing. Live in a hell world, and...
How do you become an expat?
Just
with
feels
no
like
money?
Up until the coronavirus, like, everything was not as terrible under Trump as it could be a scarecrow man who's falling to pieces, whose stuffing is coming out.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
I think we're going to get worse Trump. Like, this is my worry, is that if Biden wins, we get worse Trump. We get an actual competent person who knows how to...
That's what I'm saying, man. Four more years.
Trump, like...
Just four more years and of steady decline.
I'm getting ready to put out Trump signs. I'm almost there.
Get it in.
Damn it, Jay.
Well, we're not doing this part. We haven't even done the theme yet.
Or the intro. Maybe we did. You don't know.
We did it, yeah.
Yeah, but what about the intro?
The magic of editing.
True.
I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.
A podcast where we dissect reboots, remakes, retcons, and requels of our favorite movies and TV shows.
This week, Robin Hood.
Prince of Thieves.
And Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Tights.
Wasn't originally the plan. I pulled an audible on that one,
No,
guys.
That's... What?
I texted you and I said...
An audible is when you line up in football at the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
And the quarterback, instead of running the play that was called in the huddle, the quarterback calls a different play at the line of scrimmage.
Okay, cool.
That they run, which is called
I don't know sports. So this is legitimately new to me. I get it.
Yes, I texted these two geniuses earlier this week after watching Prince of Thieves.
Jay's dying over there. Because he saw my complete ignorance.
I was about to explain myself.
Like, I literally was like,
I didn't even think.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Thank you, Jay. Good Lord.
I did not know what an audible is.
I figured that was such common parlance.
Even if you don't know sports, I feel like an audible has to be.
Like a home run.
Yeah.
Like, boy, that was a home run. Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. Okay, so a home run is when...
You sure knocked that out of the park.
Right.
Everybody knows what that idiom means.
Well, Brandon, so now that you know what an audible means...
T-I-L, guys. T-I-L.
Apparently. I texted everybody and said, after watching Prince of Thieves, that we should really watch...
That was the call. That was the right call, for sure.
Because they're so similar.
Yeah, but it was
parody. And Christine pointed it out to me.
Oh, really?
She had never seen Prince of Thieves.
Oh, nice.
But she'd seen Men in Tights, and I was like... You really?
That's great.
There's so much in here.
Yeah, that's really funny.
That's an exact copy.
It's like seeing Spaceballs and not seeing Star Wars.
Yeah. But not even, because you can know the story of Robin Hood, because Robin Hood has been told so many times. It's something completely different.
Well, it's because they made fun of that movie.
That specific, because it's 91 and 93, if I'm not mistaken.
Later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, the sheriff of Rottingham is not only dressed exactly like the sheriff, but even his character, like the guy they have playing him, looks a lot like Alan Rickman, and who, by the way,
is the best part,
steals the show.
He's my favorite,
absolutely,
and is
the funniest. Well, him and Blinken. Blinken's my favorite.
Oh, Blinken!
Blinken's
great.
My favorite character.
Yeah. But
a Jew here.
Yeah, the thing is, though, in comparing the two, when you watch Men in Tights, it's obviously a comedy we've all seen and laughed at. But you watch Prince of Thieves, and I don't think I realized that it's also kind of a comedy.
It's lighthearted. It's a
little more than lighthearted. There's like slapstick.
Let's talk about Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman was doing his own thing. And that, like, literally, he was approached several times for the role of this. And until he said, I get carte blanche for whatever I want to do.
Oh, really?
That's when they hired him. Yes.
Really?
So it is kind of like a tonal shift, because you've got super serious, super somber fucking Kevin Costner, and who's really not that great in this movie. And then you have Alan Rickman, who's just chewing every bit of scenery you can get. I'll cut your heart out with a spoon. You know?
Well, Alan Rickman is clearly the comedic base for this movie.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other things that are played for laughs. Like, I don't remember Morgan Freeman's character.
Sure.
Everything, all the racial and cultural, like the stuff that goes back and forth, a lot of it's played for humor. There's a Little John is a a jovial, laughable, that whole scene at the river,
yeah,
where they're fighting with the sticks, it's not much less comedic than the Men in Tights version.
Yeah,
the music is practically the same. It's like this whimsical,
yeah, but
like,
it's dun 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 dun. I think I'm with Jay. It's lighthearted. It takes itself more seriously than it. I think it takes itself pretty seriously.
It's hard to. It definitely doesn't take itself as unseriously as something like Men in Tights.
Yeah,
which is clearly everything's tongue in cheek. Yeah. You're not meant to take everything. So you start with wrapping people in tights, telling you the story of Robin Hood.
Yeah,
but I still think upon rewatching the 1991 Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, the catapult. You weren't meant to laugh at the catapult.
Oh, I can't believe they cleared it. Yeah,
and he says, "Fuck me, I can't believe they cleared it." That's the one F-bomb they dropped, which apparently set a precedent for F-bombs.
Oh, really?
That's why you can get one in.
This was fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rated PG.
That was
apparently the guy who gave it a rating was like, I should have given PG-13 because there's a lot of violence.
Oh yes,
an unnecessary C-section too. I don't like that scene, and I had a flash. Like I was like, oh yeah, I hated the scene when I saw this when I was a child. I still hate
show
this
you
scene.
The scene.
No, but it's delivers. Like I don't know. A screaming pregnant woman in labor tends to break my mood in general.
I'm never a huge fan of birthing scenes.
Yeah,
in general, like,
usually.
I don't know. Like in all media,
it's very sexist of you, Jess. You can't relate.
I guess, yeah. I just don't think it's ever done like well. I don't know.
It's yeah. Like, I thought that was an unnecessary scene.
If you've seen one, but you've seen it all.
It did serve its purpose.
Well, here's the thing. My other big takeaway from rewatching, I remember loving this movie, this 1991 Robin Hood.
I know you were very excited to watch these movies, and I was like, Dave's gonna love this.
I haven't rewatched them probably, I don't know, 10-15 years. But upon rewatching them, I also realized that there are major tonal issues.
Yes.
In Prince of Thieves.
Thank you. That's kind of what I'm saying.
That's
like,
why I don't think
it's got
they
whiplash.
Knew exactly.
Yeah.
They were like, are we doing a comedy? Are we doing an,
like, are we
an
doing
action?
A PG movie for like older kids? Or are we doing an adult movie where people get their hands cut off? Or, you know, like.
And a lot of it gives you both of those things really well. And that's why I think there's a lot of good scenes in Prince of Thieves, but the movie itself kind of sucks.
Kind of a mess.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Yes.
Like you see this like you'd see a scene and you're just like, wow, what a great scene. And then you're on to the next scene
you're like
birthing scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Which also is, I think, a good scene. I think it's really well done.
It doesn't
is it Hazim?
Azim? Yeah, it doesn't. You know, that's the purpose of the scene is to
engender bring him into the fold, and then he has to, and also Friar Tuck has his coming to Jesus moment.
Yeah.
He's a monk, guys.
Yes, that's good.
Drunk one.
Yeah, which again, another thing that's played for laughs. His entire character is a humorous take. But he's also involved in this dark scene where, you know, we're delivering a baby.
Yeah,
so. The scenes are really good. The tone is,
I mean, especially in that scene, you've got, you know, romantic Maid Marian, Robin Hood, like right before that, and then after that, and even after they've delivered the baby, they're both like, "Oh, look at this baby! Let's look at each other lovingly." I'd be like freaking the fuck out.
Give
I'd
me
be like,
a fucking baby,
God,
yo.
Azim had to cut this woman over to get this baby out. We've never seen that. Oh God! Dude, like
at the end, where Prince? No, it's there is
King
no
Richard.
Prince John.
You're right.
In the Prince of Thieves.
Yeah.
They would have got too confusing. Prince
but
of Thieves.
But apparently, historically,
Prince
that's
John.
Like Mel Brooks is what was more historically accurate in that respect.
Yes,
because Prince John was. Yeah.
Right. The story of Robin Hood generally includes Prince John. Mm-hmm. We're going to see that in probably some more versions we're going to do next week, including the Disney version.
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch the Disney version.
I am excited to watch that one. Yeah.
And we'll talk about exactly what we're going to do. But I feel like wasn't there like a Kurt Russell.
What?
Not Kurt Russell.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
We'll talk about it.
Russell Crowe remake.
Well, we'll talk about it now. Because you have your pick here. We should just flip a coin. Because there was a newer recent one, which I've heard is pretty bad. Bad enough to like make fun of bad. Mm-hmm. The one with Jamie Foxx and Aaron Edgerton, I think is his name. It's like a newer slick.
Oh, is that
like,
the one I sent you that Jamie Foxx was in?
Yeah. Is that
Jamie
Foxx
on the movie poster?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's that one. And then there's the gritty Ridley Scott Russell Crowe one.
So I want to watch both of them.
No, we're not doing that. We're picking one.
Here's my proposal. I'm going to meet you halfway here. We do both of the remakes, those movies.
And then we watch the Disney one for a third.
And then we watch the Disney one. We just have a nice, light, just relaxed week where we're just watching a nice, short, little Disney flick.
Hey, what do you think?
Sure.
All right.
See?
Fair enough.
That's deciding, compromise. Deciding vote. Wow. I love it, guys.
Yeah. That's what happens in a real democracy.
Yep. There you go. We're better than the United States government.
We certainly are.
It's because we're smaller. We work better. We have less power. Strip it from them. Take it back.
By force? In Minecraft.
Hey, hey, hey.
In Minecraft.
Hey, hey, hey. Easy with the force. Unless you're ready to pick up a firearm. All right? Just be easy, okay?
We can discuss this off of the podcast.
All right. Let's... Easy. Anyway, yeah. So Robin Hood. So at the end of this comedic 1991 rendition of Robin Hood, there's this fantastic scene where we're not sure if we are heroically fighting Alan Rickman, who is like an asshole, or are we comically trying to rape Maid Marian?
Yeah, what's with that scene?
Because that tone is
so
all over the place.
Weird.
And they thought they were doing a comedy.
I don't know. I think the writer, like, it feels like they almost had like two different writers for like half the movie. Like, oh, you take the next scene. All right, I'll write that one. You take that one. All right,
yeah.
And they like, did not check to see if they flowed well together.
Yeah.
Because it is all over the place.
Definitely.
That scene is weird. Again, it's like, it's kind of like he's a comedic bad guy. And but then Kevin Costner's super serial. He's just super serial.
But
I really
not,
hate Kevin
though.
Costner.
He's also way too laid back and like
he literally just like reads his lines.
And that's what most of the critics said, was like he didn't even seem like he wanted to be there.
Yeah.
He's so casual. Like he's the Eddie Izzard. He's Robin Hood twang.
He's
just like, hey.
Hey, the Maid Marian.
I'm Robin Hood and I'm kind of a badass. Like every time he walks on screen, he's just like, he's got that, I'm kind of a badass. And you're just kind of like, why? Well, you haven't given us anything to work with.
There. I would say Cary Elwes is a better Robin Hood than Kevin Costner.
Who?
Cary Elwes. Thank you, Christine.
Who?
The guy who played him for Princess Bride, Men in Tights.
Oh,
fucking
Princess
idiot.
Bride. Oh, Dread Pirate Roberts.
Dave refuses to understand that there are actors who play characters in these movies.
No, it's just characters.
You're talking about. You're talking just characters.
Who's also, I got to tell you, I think it's what he was going for, but his performance also was Men in Tights first, or was Princess Bride first? Princess Bride was first, right?
And no, and that's what they said. He based his performance on his Princess Bride character. For sure.
But I thought the Princess Bride character was actually better. Well, I haven't seen that in a long time either. I don't know. His whole act was very much like wink and nod, look at the camera.
It's a fucking Mel Brooks movie.
I know, and everybody's doing that a little bit, but it's
a fucking Mel Brooks movie.
He was just like the king of it.
Because he's the lead.
Of everything about Men in Tights, which I like, this time around, upon rewatching it, I was actually least impressed with,
fair
with
enough.
Him. I kind of like all the supporting characters. Not that he's bad.
No. I know what you mean.
But just like everybody else, like Blinken.
Like for me this time, I was like, oh, Achoo and Blinken are the funniest, and especially together. Like they're so funny, yeah.
And Prince John?
Oh, God, Richard Lewis is my favorite part of this movie.
Oh, God.
Why are you laughing? It's terrible news. It's
terrible news.
He's like, wasn't that mole on the other side of your face?
I have a mole.
He's the fucking. He kills this movie.
Hilarious.
Him and Roger Rees is the Nottingham. He's so funny.
Yeah, they're both fantastic.
They're the funniest part of this movie.
I think everyone is so good in that it makes it brings down what's his face's.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't shine as much.
Exactly. Okay, I can see it. And Amy Azbeck is just Amy Azbeck.
Even the guy who plays Little John, who's just like kind of a dope.
Yeah, he's funny. He's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he's hilarious. It's great. The stick fight,
classic.
The stick fight on the bridge.
Yeah.
And so we watched Prince of Thieves first, obviously.
Yes.
So Christine is watching Prince of Thieves, having never seen it, thinking of Men in Tights.
Oh my
God. So when Robin Hood trips the guy in the river, and he's like, can't swim, she's like, oh my God, this really happens.
Yeah.
I thought this was a joke.
It stayed pretty relatively faithful.
Yeah. And then he goes, all right, now put your feet down.
Yeah.
Because the movie is a comedy.
Yeah. Well, I guess. I just think that scene is supposed to be a gentleman's, like almost a gentleman's match. That's why.
It surely is.
And
it's all comedic. Once was a man from Nottingham who tried to cross the river.
I think you're affixing comedic to the wrong thing. Like, I don't think the word comedic, I think lighthearted applies better.
Okay. I mean, sure, I could mean comedic like everyone lives in the end. But I mean like comedic like it's played for laughs. Like they're trying to be funny.
But I wasn't laughing.
Oh, I didn't say they did a good job, Brandon.
Hey, gotcha.
It's a 91. This is exactly what you expect from early 90s.
Yes. This movie reeks of early 90s. Yeah. It is a huge product of its time.
Not great, but serviceable action with good practical effects.
And with some great actors who came out of the 80s.
I did enjoy that big battle at the end. Like I thought that was done well.
Oh, in the castle where they're at the execution?
At the execution, yeah. Like, I mean, it's always, like, I don't know. I like that kind of stuff, and that's where I think, like, Game of Thrones even did it. Like, when you have those just masses of people, and, like, even when the bridge was burning, like, before where they're capturing everybody, like, you just, like, that's such a better, to me, like from a historical, like, looking at it, like, that's such a better perspective than when you have these, like, one-on-one duels all over the battlefield. No, really, it was just masses of people shooting arrows and masses of bodies just smashing into each other.
Yeah.
And I think that does it better than, like, you know, even though they go for more of a lighthearted, like, comedy thing.
It is a good fight. Well. It's absolutely. And there's that really dark executioner side of that scene where people are getting strangled and going to get their heads cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, let's launch ourselves over the thing with a catapult and get our and land in a haystack. Haystacks everywhere. There was always a convenient haystack
in the Middle Ages.
The Assassin's Creed method. Yeah, of course. Same architect, clearly.
Not to mention, I don't know why it struck out to me, but maybe because I was paying such close attention to the catapult, because I was like, oh my God, I forgot about this.
They're going to do
the catapult. Morgan Freeman takes his sword. It's in his hand, and he puts it to his side as if he's putting it in a scabbard, but there's no scabbard there, so he does it like a child would and like kind of holds it there with his hand and pretends, and it makes it into the final cut, and then the next they cut away, and they cut back, and he's holding the sword still like a moron, but differently. And I was like, nobody was paying any attention. How did Morgan Freeman not go, what do I do with the sword? The director just say, hey, just figure it out, dude.
Do you.
Like, we spent too much money on a Bryan Adams song. We don't have a sword guy. We don't have a sword guy.
He was so awkward. I was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, the action was...
I didn't even notice that.
The action was, passable for the early 90s, for sure.
It's exactly what you want for
the 90s. It wasn't the best, but it wasn't a fucking Terminator 2 or anything.
And it was practical effects.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is impressive when you're doing arrows and you're doing people getting their heads cut off and stuff and, you know, lopped
and
apart and whatever.
Ewok Village attack.
Yes, the Ewok Village attack. Yeah. Which...
Weird.
The most easily findable secret hideout that ever
existed. I mean, in general, the Robin Hood people just hiding in the woods, like... that doesn't track.
They're pooping somewhere.
Like, you're going to find
them. Someone's finding them.
Like, I've seen woods before.
Yeah, there's a lot of poop over there.
I've seen woods before.
You can find somebody there if you surround it, you know.
Especially if you're making, like, tree houses and shit.
Yeah, pretty obvious.
And there was smoke and stuff. Like, they had fires.
Brandon, who directed Prince of Thieves?
I forgot to look that up, but I looked up a ton of trivia, but...
Does he have, like, a spittle fetish?
What do you mean?
There was a lot of conspicuous spittle. In Prince of
Thieves.
That's
weird, but okay.
To the point where I almost think they mocked it in a scene in Men in Tights when someone like overly pronounces something and kind of like projectile spittles. It happened. The executioner does it. He spits on Will Scarlet when he's talking to him. And the crone... the latrine, but not latrine, the real version.
Matrella or something.
Right.
Like
she spits on this plate and then she plays
with it. That part's so fucking gross. So fucking gross.
And then the sheriff of Nottingham, when he gets angry at some point, he's talking about Robin Hood, he's spittling all over the place. And then when he dies, serious spittle
situation.
They're
just like medieval people. They didn't care about mouth hygiene.
But you got to think that's
everywhere.
A director's choice, right? He was like, were they spraying him down? Like,
this guy's other credit is Waterworld and other movies. So,
did he do The Postman also?
No, I was expecting that, but no. Kevin I think Kevin Costner did that his own.
Yeah, probably.
I think he, because he's
did Kevin Costner finished directing this movie?
Huh? Maybe?
Or was that just Waterworld? He did that for Waterworld, didn't he?
He directed part of Waterworld?
Yeah.
Did they do the whole thing? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I vaguely remember there was a thing about that.
I saw that movie once when I was a kid.
Yep.
And
I'll never watch it again.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of spittle in Waterworld? I don't remember.
I mean, there's a lot of water, bro. So,
you wouldn't notice so much the spit.
That guy was his dream. He was just a world full of it.
What was the plot of that? It was just like there was just water everywhere.
Yeah.
And then the dude evolves to have gills because that's how things work. Right?
Science, Jay. Are you not familiar?
Apparently not.
And then Jack Black is working for Dennis Hopper.
Is Jack Black in that movie?
Jack Black is in that movie. Yeah.
No.
He's one of the gas guys, whatever they're called. Gassers? Fuelers?
I don't know. I don't remember. I haven't seen it in a movie.
They have like a name. Fuelers or
Kevin
something.
Costner had his day. What was the last thing Kevin Costner was in?
Fucking Superman Returns or whatever. Man of Steel. The newer reboot of Superman that we have watched.
He was in that?
Yes, he was Pa Kent.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He was.
Killed in Tornado.
Yes.
He's done other
stuff. Wow, what a memorable role. Jay and I picked up on that immediately.
Yeah, I know. You guys are like, huh? I think I just don't. I like Kevin Costner, like, Dances with Wolves, and only the one time I watched it, I wouldn't watch
Field
it again.
Field of Dreams.
Oh, I did
That's
not
him, right?
Like that.
Yes.
Yeah, that movie sucked.
Oh, I like Field of Dreams.
Oh, no, it sucked.
Oh, you know what? Here's the thing. It might have sucked, but I still
okay,
like
fair.
It.
I'll accept that. Yeah.
But I think I don't like Kevin Costner that much. And so I think that's why I'm like, he's bleh in this movie.
I think Kevin Costner's agent was a genius. And he just kept getting the movies.
He did. For a brief time, he did.
Mediocre
Late,
roles.
Like mid-80s to mid-90s. Yeah. Like a good 10, 15-year period where he was in a ton of big
good
stuff.
Good for him.
And it's all the same role. You notice that?
In every movie. He's the same fucking
it's
guy.
It's this very monotone talking guy. And he's going to give a monotone inspirational speech at some point. We're just going to be like, and hey, listen, I know we're all out here in Sherwood, but if we're going to come together, we're going to have to do it as a group of merry men. Are you with me?
He's the proto Nick Cage. He's just playing. He's just
no,
playing
don't
himself.
You besmirch
he's
the good name
himself.
Of Nick Cage.
You're telling me that Nick Cage doesn't play Nick Cage in
Nick
every
Cage,
single movie?
He does. Plays maniacs.
He does. No, but I know what Jay's saying. You're absolutely right because Nick Cage is Nick Cage playing.
Yeah,
it's Nick Cage as this person.
Yeah, but
Nick
they Cage are orders of magnitude totally separate.
No, but it's the same idea. He's the proto. Nick Cage learned from Costner.
I see what you're saying. It's not the same thing, but it's the same idea.
Yeah.
It's this guy. He's just reprising his role in a previous movie as a new character.
That's what,
what he's doing.
Like, that's Nick Cage. I love Nick Cage.
I've seen a lot of Nick Cage stuff, and his range is better than Kevin Costner.
This is what Robin Hood would be like if the guy from Waterworld did it.
Yes.
Or if that same guy was a postman.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you.
Or if that same guy...
Milk fucking toast. Milk toast. No, I mean...
It is.
No.
It is.
Nick Cage plays so many different... I mean, it's essentially Nick Cage... But he has degrees. Like
he's more he's more or less crazy.
Okay.
He turns the crazy up or down.
Yeah. All right, I see what you're saying.
He
I
took
got
the Costner formula and
turned it up to crazy.
Yeah, now he's crazy guy and he has degrees of crazy.
Yes.
He's like, what if the guy from
fucking Bangkok Dangerous.
Bangkok Dangerous was Knight Rider.
All right.
But
all right,
less
all right,
crazy.
All right. Fair enough.
Bangkok Dangerous is my
That's like your favorite Bad Nick Cage movie. It's so ridiculous.
There's an elephant out.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
I know.
Did I tell that story? Yeah. We went to see it and
then the film melt.
The film melted.
Oh.
Yeah. Chervy and I and I think Brian, we got two free tickets and we didn't even have to sit through the whole movie.
Wow. Shame.
But yeah, I Kevin Costner is the definition of milk toast to me. Like he's just there.
What milk? What is it? Milk toast?
I don't know. Actually.
Boring.
How do you? But no, I get that. But what is the milk go in the toast? I know. Like white bread. Like if you call somebody white bread, it's like, oh, you're boring. And white bread is a thing. But I've never heard of milk toast.
I don't know.
I don't actually know the origin of that expression.
Right? It's weird though, right? Am I the only one who thinks that's weird?
Are we looking it up? We're looking it up.
I don't know. Jay's looking it up.
Jay is looking
it
up.
It just never struck me as...
You can't go buy it.
I'm wondering if people mean white toast.
That's
Do
what
you
I'm
mean
actually thinking.
I think it might originally have been
And
that,
milk
yeah.
is what you're saying instead of white because your English is bad?
Probably. Or that it's from England or something.
Because it's
M-I-L-Q-U-E. It is M-I-L-Q-U-E, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I've never seen that word spelled
before. Which is
before.
Why I wonder if it's
I gotta think it's like an English thing or something like that.
Oh, maybe. You might be right about that. That'd be interesting.
We're going to find out.
Like milk is like a specific type of cow.
That's plausible, sure.
Or wheat, rather. You know, like milk, the type of bread they're making. It's milk toast.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah. Both of those sounded believable, and Balderdash, you would have won.
They both are believable, and that's why we're just going to pick one and run with it. You don't need the internet, Jay. Get off that thing. That crazy thing.
I can't believe he hasn't found it.
No, it just keeps giving me definitions.
Well, type the word etymology you type the word milquetoast.
I'm looking.
You know, like a search engine.
Etymology. Milquetoast meaning.
Ooh, or the word meaning.
Yeah.
From the character Casper Milquetoast.
What?
Of the comic strip The Timid Soul.
The fuck?
Oh, obviously.
Named after the American dish, milquetoast.
Well, then what's...
Which is a food consisting of toasted bread in warm milk.
Ew.
Typically with sugar or butter.
So it is a food.
It is a food. It's toasted bread in warm milk.
Ugh.
That sounds disgusting.
It would get all soggy. Yeah.
It would.
Yeah. That's
What's
gross.
The point of toasting it if you're just going to get it all soggy?
I don't know.
Well,
I wonder if it's like like French toast, but like you don't cook as French toast. You cook them.
Yeah.
And you also don't dip in milk.
Apparently it was a popular enough dish.
In the 20s.
It sounds like a depression era.
It is a depression era.
It's a depression era.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were like, all we have is milk and toast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got recooked bread and cow
and
juice.
Made soggy. Ugh. Ugh. Anyways, that's how I feel about Kevin Costner.
That's
a depression era dish.
Yeah, it was really boring.
Took the long way around on that one.
And yeah, you're right. He has that speech, and that was a good impression. Like, he does every that movie, in every fucking movie.
In The Postman, in Waterworld, in Field of Dreams.
In Superman, too.
He gives it to Cal.
Absolutely.
He gives that speech in every, just the monotone, inspirational, but he's not like inspiring.
It's like a facts of life kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Almost like he doesn't care and it's your responsibility.
Yes.
Like, hey, listen, I don't give a shit what you do, but the right thing to do would be to fight the Sheriff of Nottingham. So if you guys are going to do it, then let's do it.
Hilarious.
I'm going to go shoot some arrows and you let
me
know.
Like to give special props to the other villain in it, the Michael Wilcock character, Guy of Ghislaine. He was good.
Yes.
Whenever I see him, I'm like, oh, he's that guy who played a million bad guys in the 80s and 90s. Like, he was in a ton of stuff just as a bad guy because he's just a sinister looking dude and he plays it up. And I think he does it well. Yeah.
He does a good job playing off of the.
Yes.
The comedic the
craziness of
Alan Rickman because he's supposed to still be evil, so like it allows this guy to do a lot of the eviler stuff, and so we still laugh at Alan Rickman.
Yeah,
and be like, ah, but then Alan Rickman murders him.
Yeah,
and then you're like, oh, it turns out we don't like Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman's like just evil. All of like any chance they get to make him evil, they do.
Oh, yeah, he was great though. I mean, like,
yeah, he carries it
in being evil and being hilarious.
Yes,
like
I'm chewing on all the scenes.
Oh my gosh, the scenes with the witch.
Oh my god. So apparently,
she's always trying to bang out.
Apparently, there was a cut scene that had that A, exposed the witch to be his actual mother, and B, that she and B, that she wasn't predicting anything, she was spying on him and like using and then just using that as a way to make predictions, you know.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, I don't know if that would have, but at 2.5 hours already,
that was a long
that would have been too long.
But you know what? For 2.5 hours,
it moved quicker than a lot of other 2.5 hour movies we've watched. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
It was still pretty long, but I'll give it that.
We've watched 2 hour movies that I got more bored with than this movie.
For sure.
Mad Max.
Fair enough.
The original or Fury Road?
He's talking about Road Warrior.
I was talking about the original, but that wasn't even 2 hours.
It was an hour and a half.
I know. I still got bored. Anyway.
Brandon just has the worst taste of movies.
I know, right?
Why
and
we
it's
ever
weird
him...
because he claims to love them. And if he loves them so much, why does he pick such terrible ones for us to watch?
I don't know. I just wish he would.
It's almost like he's punishing himself for something he did in
his past.
It's
self-flagellation.
Yeah.
I wonder what that could be.
Hey, you guys.
Would you like to explore that with us?
This Psychology with Dave and Jeff.
We invite you to discuss. You are free to feel what you need to feel.
Just
I'm
back.
Well aware that this is not a safe space. I'm good. I'm good. Thanks.
He's learning.
I can't imagine a safer one.
Yeah. We're definitely not going to make fun of anything.
No. We're going to make fun of it, but we're going to do it in a loving way.
Yeah.
Because we love you.
We're going to make fun of it with you, not at you.
Exactly. Yeah. We're gonna brainstorm. We're gonna come up with solutions. We're gonna berate you a little bit. It's gonna be a productive afternoon.
You will come
what
out the
do?
Other end a better human being for it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I usually
calloused and battle hardened.
Exactly.
It's like my parents split. You guys were just like all jokes, and that literally was the best therapy.
What are friends for? Seriously, if you can't just make rude jokes with your friends, like at each other's expense, I mean, it's. I don't know. If you don't understand that, I don't think you have friends. You may need to reevaluate.
You literally just attack someone extremely personally right now. I don't know who it is. Whoever that is, he's right.
Probably.
he's right.
Oh, guys,
reevaluate. Maybe your friendships are just different.
Reevaluate your entire life.
Different, like not as good. But to each his own. Yeah. But worse.
Clearly.
Oh, man. I don't have much else to say about these movies, though.
Well, I mean, we're an hour and 20 in. Is that an hour and 20? Is that an hour and two?
No, it's only an hour and 10.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, nice short episode for me to edit this week.
Okay.
But you know why? We don't have any garbage Star Trek to talk about.
It's true.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. My cousin texted me. She was like, hey, I haven't listened to any of your Star Trek episodes because I didn't want to spoil it.
Oh, poor Chris.
I'm wondering if I should watch it. And I was like,
it'll make our podcast funnier.
It will.
Like you'll appreciate it.
You can listen to those episodes. And it's
sometimes I'll do that. Like you know,
it's if you're just looking for something to watch. If you're quarantined, it's only
yeah, it
10
is,
episodes.
Yeah, it is free now. So
and they're 45 minutes. And yeah, it is. It's on
All Access is free right now.
All Access is a month.
You
free,
get 1 month free. But
yeah. I think I also saw it on Amazon. I think it's on Amazon.
Oh really? I know international. Well, internationally. Discovery was on Netflix, so I don't know if it's... But I think you're right. I thought I saw somebody mention that, too. Yeah, whatever. It's around.
If you haven't seen it...
At this point, any content is good content, as we're all learning through quarantine.
Yes. The bar is so low right
now. It really is.
You could be listening to our podcast and enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would do that? Tell your friends about our podcast. Do it.
We talk about movies and other fun stuff, and sometimes we let Jay talk about wrestling.
Yeah, I didn't watch WrestleMania, so I can't give you an update.
Oh my god!
Well, because
it was
A, no audience, and B, Vince McMahon sucks for making them still work.
Yeah.
Oh, is it like a whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
he's
still making them work. Like, I mean, I get you
the wrestlers.
They're still having matches and crews. Like, I don't know. I don't necessarily.
Well, I mean, essential services,
and also like it's. I forget. I watched a couple. I watched somebody talk about it on YouTube, like how the audience is such a huge part of like the energy,
American
the narrative.
Wrestling.
Like it is integral to the show.
Yeah,
having crowd reactions, crowd interaction.
Of course. Well, it's like anything. It's I mean.
Yeah, but like they spend minutes building up tension with the audience. You know what I mean? Like there's those moments where like he's got him in a headlock, and then the audience like and he's
and he's hulking up, and he's
that's like 5 minutes.
Oh,
like,
you watched the
what was it? Renegade Cut?
Renegade Cut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is. It is. It's a completely different thing. And like, I did watch what was actually really interesting. And if you want to check it out, the WWE in 1999 did this thing called the Brawl for All. Or no, was it 97? Fuck it, whatever. It was in the 90s. It was right at the beginning of the Attitude Era. And it was when they did a 16-person like for shoot fight tournament. Right? Mm-hmm. They did like a legitimate tournament, and Vice did it. It's look up the Vice documentary, Dark Side of the Ring, Brawl for All, and it goes over. This just horrible experiment that they did.
Oh, God.
Oh,
that
no.
resulted in the injuries of multiple wrestlers. And, like, just the. It was. I remember the Brawl for All as a kid.
Wow.
And, like, as an 11-year-old being like, this is stupid.
That's so sad.
It's, yeah. So, and then it culminated in Butterbean coming in and not. I mean, if you don't know Butterbean,
I know Butterbean.
Yeah.
He came in, the winner of the Brawl for All, Bart Gunn, at WrestleMania, faced Butterbean because Vince was pissed that Bart Gunn won. Like, there's this whole story about why they didn't want Bart Gunn to win. They wanted somebody else to win. Bart Gunn knocks that dude out, ends up winning the whole tournament. So Vince, as revenge, fucking gets Butterbean. This is psychotic Vince McMahon. Gets Butterbean to come in and at WrestleMania go one-on-one with Bart Gunn in a boxing match, and Butterbean literally,
oh God, yeah,
literally that, just pancakes
yeah.
him. Like, ends his, and it, yeah, it's just gross.
Well, that sounds terribly depressing. Did you guys watch Tiger King?
No.
Watch that first.
I know.
Yeah?
It's, oh God. Parts of it are depressing, but parts of it are, you're just like, oh my God. These people, like, they're making the best of, like, some of these peripheral people. You're just like, just, it's good luck to these guys. Good for them.
He ran for president, didn't he?
He did with Joe Exotic, yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic. He's out of his mind, and I don't want to ruin anything. Watch Tiger King.
I've heard so much about it. So.
You should watch it. Go home tonight and watch it. If you're listening to this podcast and you're at this point, turn this off because we're done, and go watch Tiger King.
Yeah, I guess we are done.
See you next week.
Seriously, are you guys still here? You should be watching Tiger. I'll tell you what. We'll do the exit, but you should be booting up your Netflix to watch Tiger King while we do this. So next week, we'll be back with the two Robin Hood remakes.
Yeah.
I know, Brandon. You eat it like an elephant, man. Start at the ass.
All right.
So we're going to do these two remakes, and then we're going to come in nice for a soft landing with the Disney version.
And only one. That's fair.
Yep. So, all right, yeah. So let's do it. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this.